Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode of the Eurotrip is brought to you by the new Malmö Hagen Eurovision pre-party, coming to you live from Copenhagen on Saturday the 4th of May.
Taking place only a bridge away from this year's host city, the event will be the ultimate warm-up show to a huge week of Eurovision action.
Join Eurovision winner Emily DeForest, the class of 2024, live Euroclub DJs and other iconic stars for 10 hours of fun and games, including a quiz and karaoke contest on the festival stage and the pre-show Scandinavian songbook on the main LED stage.
And unique to the existing pre-party tour, you'll also be able to vote for your 2024 winner live before parting the night away until 5 a.m.
You can find out more and book your tickets via the link in the description for today's episode, or head to billetto.dk, that's billetto.dk, and search for Malmö Hagen.
Eurotrip, when I read that, I was immediately thinking of the movie. Do you know the movie?
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hello, Leanne. Leanne, are you a Eurotrip podcast listener?
I am, yes. I should say, I met some Eurotrip fans here. I was chatting with people outside the entrance, and they said, oh, are you Bella Fist? And I said, yeah. I know you're from the Eurotrip.
What did you have for breakfast?
It was last night. I did not have a kebab for breakfast.
Queen Laureen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Martin Osterdahl, Executive Supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, I think it is, right?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand new episode of the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast. With me, Rob.
Me, James.
And this week, well, I'm back, which is very exciting. Delighted to be here, but that isn't the main thing. That's not the headline from today's episode, because we will be joined by, I was going to call them the Swedish twins, but that would be incorrect. We are joined. I don't know why it's now just me joined by them. I'm the one that spoke to them anyway. Marcus and Martinez are on the podcast. That is what I was attempting to say. Very exciting. James, I'm quite rusty. Can you tell?
I was going to say, yeah, since you've been away for 2 weeks, it's like you've just come back and you're not your true self. The Norwegian twins, you should really be saying, but their adopted home country of Sweden for this year.
I did see an interview, I think they did with Alessandra from Norway last year, of course. And didn't she call them traitors, I think?
Yeah, I think she said, why have you betrayed your own country, didn't she?
Which is quite funny, isn't it? Because hasn't Alessandra got quite a strong Italian connection as well?
She does. Yeah.
I mean, she's got a point, though, hasn't she? She's got a point. I mean, you may hear in the interview, I do ask the boys, would they ever do Melody Grand Prix in Norway, or have they ever been asked? That will come up in the interview. But yes, Marcus and Martinez on the way a little bit later, but loads of other stuff as well, James.
Yes, indeed, our march to Malmö continues when we chat to somebody who lives and works in the city. I'll be chatting to somebody who co-owns a food tours business. I mean, what more could you want, Rob?
Very, very exciting. Very, very excited to hear that. And also, we'll be hearing more about a very exciting project that one of the Eurotrip team members has been involved in, looking into the varying fortunes of the Nordic nations at Eurovision.
So we've got all that and more to come. You're listening on Acast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip.
It's nice to be back.
Yes, it is. It's nice to have you back. How has the honeymoon been? The Eurotrip now sounds different now that you're back with us.
Well, the highlight, of course, was binging the two episodes of the Eurotrip that you fronted solo on the flight home over the weekend. So that was the highlight of the honeymoon, obviously.
Well, you can tell he's dropped out of the Eurotrip circle a bit, hasn't he? Because it was three episodes while you were away.
Well, of course. Although... I did. I've got to say, actually, the Eurotrip featured in both my flight to Iceland and my flight home, because the Andrew Cartmell bonus episode that we released, I listened to on the way to Iceland, and then I did the two regular episodes on the way back. But yes, very nice to be a listener. Always nice to be a listener rather than participating in the episode. But it is lovely to be back. Had a lovely, lovely time in Iceland. Would very much recommend it to anybody. Was there for 12 days, which is a very, very long time. I am, however, now enjoying not having the admin of having to put thermals on every time you go outside, which I was having to do.
Mm, how cold was it?
Lowest it got, to be honest. The lowest it got doesn't sound that cold. It was about -4. But then Iceland is the windiest country I have ever been to, ever. They don't have many trees. I don't know if that is the reason why it's really windy. But yeah, so the wind chill. Does add on a lot, but did all sorts. Did a husky sledding.
Also, I think as well, last week I mentioned that your whale watching had been cancelled because of the weather. Although, positive news update, everyone.
Good whale watching news update, everybody. Managed to rebook a different whale watching tour in a different part of Iceland before we left. And James, I saw, are you ready for the inventory of what I saw on the whale watching trip?
Yes, please.
I saw a pod of white-beaked dolphins, famously not whales. I saw two sperm whales. Don't laugh at the back of the class. I saw two orcas. I think we politically correct have to call them orcas, not killer whales anymore. They didn't like the bad PR of killer whales. And I had a very rare sighting with a humpback whale, James.
Wow. So you saw... Did you get a bingo? Did you get a line on the bingo card of whales?
That would have been good. They should do that. They really should do that. A whales bingo. Maybe we could do... No, let's not do that.
And also, by the way, listen to us waffling, because you also went to the Eurovision Museum in Húsavík. I mean, come on.
Why have we not led with that? Yeah, so I went to the Eurovision Museum in Húsavík. Just to tell you the story very quickly, Húsavík was where we were supposed to do the original whale-watching trip, which then had been cancelled, so didn't think we'd get to go to Húsavík. But then we were like, oh, well, let's try. The day we went, we thought we'd got to Húsavík too late. We thought the museum was already going to be shut. We were stood outside taking pictures of the museum that we thought was shut. And then an American man comes outside in a Yaya Ding Dong t-shirt and goes, "Hey, what are you guys doing? Come in." That's not an American accent. and it turned out that it was still open. So yeah, managed to have a look around. Would recommend to anyone who goes to Iceland to make the pilgrimage up north to Húsavík and to go to the Eurovision Museum, because it is genuinely excellent. Like, they've done a really, really good job. Fascinating about the film, but also about Iceland's history with the Eurovision Song Contest. And also a special shout out. I put a note in my phone to Gerd. Gerd is the man behind the Epics Eurovision Guy YouTube channel, and he is the guy that manages the Eurovision Museum in Húsavík currently.
Well, I don't know if you've seen this, but Gerd has sent us an email. I don't know if you've seen this in our inbox. Have you seen it?
I've not seen it, no. Go on.
Well, let me read it out to you. He says, "Hey, Rob, it was lovely to have you in the Yaya Ding Dong Bar and Eurovision Exhibition in Húsavík. It might be the last season for the Eurovision Museum, so you got here just in time. Hopefully all the other Eurovision fans can visit this summer as well. I've started listening to the podcast now, and you guys are fantastic. Greetings to James as well, and see you guys in Malmö."
That is very nice. Yeah, it was a bit like I was trying to flirt with him at one point because I said, are you going to Malmö? And he said, I am actually. And I got him to write his number into my phone.
Lovely. So we might actually catch up then if he is going to be there.
Yeah, quite possibly, quite possibly. So yeah, lovely time. And as Gerd said there, might be your last chance to go to the Eurovision Museum. So if you're in Iceland this year, go. Or if you're not planning on doing it, make a special trip to go and see it because it is worthwhile. James, for the purpose of the podcast and for you, one of the most interesting things that I think happened in my 2 weeks in Iceland was I managed to put Emma, my wife, through a listening session. In the car, we listened to every single song from the class of 2024.
Did you?
Now, Emma is not a big Eurovision fan, I would say. She enjoys it. She watches the big night on the Saturday. But I thought this was an interesting experiment to find out the songs that she liked and disliked. Would you like the dislikes first? So the dislikes, by the way, they were pretty clear because they didn't get past the first 30 seconds. She would skip them pretty quickly.
Okay, let's have those headlines then.
All right, so the main dislikes. Sorry, everybody. I know this will go down like a lead balloon. Ireland didn't get much of a play, I'm afraid. Luxembourg, not a fan. Not a fan. And also, this will go down like a lead balloon with some people. Croatia.
Wow. Okay.
Not a fan. Would you like the positives, though, her faves?
Yeah, let's bring a bit of light to this situation.
All right, so my wife's favourites from our listening session in the car on a very long drive in Iceland were Czechia, Iko, friend of the podcast, Italy.
Yeah, big favourite this year.
She loved the Netherlands.
Really?
Yeah, no, honestly, it surprised me as well. Surprised me. She said it was silly in all the right ways.
Interesting. You know, I know Emma, and I'm very surprised by that.
You and me both. But the most surprising one, and even more surprising than what she said about the Netherlands, one of Emma's personal favourites, and this took me back because I haven't heard anyone have any particularly strong feelings about this song so far. Azerbaijan. Big fan.
Interesting. Well, it just shows, doesn't it? We're all different. We've all got our favourites. We've all got the ones that we don't like as much. And just goes to show, well, interesting. Very good.
Absolutely. So, yeah, thought that was an interesting experiment. So, those are Emma's thoughts. Not to be associated with me, nor... What is it people say at this point? They're like, these are the views of... I don't know.
Of me and not my employer.
Yeah, basically, these are the views of my wife and not necessarily reflective of those of the Eurotrip podcast. There we go.
Well, there you go. If you want to give us your thoughts on the class of 2024, do get in touch. You can get in touch with us about anything else as well to do with the podcast and Eurovision. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. Or you can email us as well. hello@eurotrippodcast.com.
So that means it is time for all the latest news from the world of the Eurovision Song Contest. But as James, you have said for the last couple of weeks, and we have said for the couple of weeks before that as well, now national final season is over, and of course has been over for a long time, and especially now that pre-party season, or at least traditional pre-party season, is over, not a lot of news happening in the world of Eurovision. Although, that being said... Do rehearsals technically start this week, James?
They do. You've started me because I don't... It's Saturday, I think, off the top of my head. I should really know that, to be perfectly honest with you. So, yeah, rehearsals start soon. But also, since I recorded last week's podcast, typical of Eurovision to release some big news immediately after we record, we got that new big change that they've been teasing in the fact that instead of just drawing first half or second half, for the grand final, for those artists who will perform, there will also be some cards in there as they dig their hand into the bowl that say producer's choice. So that's a little bit different.
It is a bit different. So with the producer's choice card, if I am right, basically the producers can put them wherever they like. They can put them first half, second half, anywhere they want, right?
Exactly. So at the moment, we only know that of the 26 songs in the grand final, that Sweden will open. Of course, they are the host entry, so they get their position drawn fully at random. That happened last month. But during Eurovision week itself, the big five will dip their hand into a pot, won't they? And they'll pick out first half, second half, or producer's choice. So if it says first half on the card, they'll perform the first half. If they pick out second half, they'll perform the second half. But if it says producer's choice, the producers will have their free entire choice to pop them wherever they like. And of course, that goes for the semi-finalists who qualify to the grand final as well.
I think we have reached peak internet, though, haven't we? Because am I right in saying that the big five will draw their position, whether it's first half, second half, or producer's choice, in an Ask Me Anything session on Reddit? I think that's correct.
That was just the most bizarre sentence from the press release, wasn't it? Imagine saying that to anybody, even like 2 weeks beforehand, that sentence would have been read out. You'd been thinking, on Reddit? Really? What on earth is a producer's choice? I mean, yeah, very bizarre.
I'm north of 30 and have no idea what most of those words mean. So I'll look forward to a message from you telling me where everybody is or who has been drawn where.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll cover this big change in the future as well. We're going to be doing daily episodes in Malmö when we're out there. So I'm sure we'll find some time to cover that change in a bit more detail.
James, you mentioned Sweden there, opening the grand final, because of course, last year in Liverpool, they won. They won for the third time in the last decade or so. An incredible period of success for them at the contest. And that is actually the inspiration behind a brilliant piece of work that you can find now on About the Contest. So aboutthecontest.com, brilliant Eurovision site where you see song reviews, all sorts of really insightful pieces looking at Eurovision and the songs and entries and all sorts of stuff like that. Well, the man behind that is Callum Rowe, the man who also puts together our brilliant exclusive stories over on Eurotrippodcast.com. He also will be joining us once again in Malmö for our daily episodes, as he did in Liverpool. And James, he also happens to be your brother as well, so he does sound a bit like you.
Indeed.
Well, because Callum has been doing this brilliant piece of work on Sweden's success at Eurovision, but also how that has contrasted with some of their Nordic neighbours, we thought we'd get him on the podcast. So here's what happened when we caught up a little bit earlier on to find out all about what he's been up to and also have a bit of a chat about what we'll be up to in Malmö in a few days. Can I get away with a few days, James?
Just about.
A few days' time. Callum, hello, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi Rob, nice to see you.
We've already given you the big sell, Callum. People need no introduction for you, of course. You do all of the brilliant stuff over on eurotrippodcast.com. So all of our exclusive stories that people can read over there, you are the man behind that. But also, Callum, you are also the man behind an incredible series of investigative articles that you have just released over on your site about the contest. So what have you been up to?
Yeah, over the last few months, I've been working very hard to try and tell a very unique story about the five Nordic countries at the Eurovision Song Contest over the last 10 years. I think it's quite an interesting period that started in 2013 until last year's contest that saw Sweden dominate Eurovision. You know, it won twice, it got three top three finishes and seven top fives. It dominated Eurovision, like we know. And its four Nordic neighbours, Denmark, Finland, Iceland and Norway, didn't even come close. You know, combined, they only got one win, a couple of podiums and five top five finishes. So the numbers really do stack up in Sweden's favour. And I just really wanted to try and tell the story of how Sweden got to its position of dominance and how the other four countries just weren't and haven't been able to match its success.
So these are effectively five deep dives that you've done. As you said, you've taken each country alone. So you've got, as you said, Sweden, Norway, Finland, Denmark, and Iceland. I'm going to pull a couple of quotes from the stuff that you've done, because I just wanted to address some of it. And I would thoroughly recommend anyone who is listening to this to go and have a read of all of these pieces. And we'll put a link in the description for today's episode. But on Denmark, a fascinating story that I didn't realize that you've got from some of the people that you've spoken to. Only Teardrops, so Emily DeForest, winner, of course, for Denmark, wasn't even going to be in the Danish selection in the first place.
Yeah, that was the song, Only Teardrops, that really cemented my love for Eurovision. I'd always kind of followed it before Denmark won, but that was the song that sort of launched me into this whole contest. And then I found out, speaking to, it was Ola Topholm, who is Denmark's commentator, he revealed that the song was never originally planned to be in Dance Melody Grand Prix in 2030. And it was only because one song got disqualified, basically, before the public found out the 10 songs that were going to be in that competition, that Only Teardrops sort of, it was a wild card, essentially, in the competition. I know we've kind of seen that with, was it Rim Tim Tagadim in Croatia this year, another kind of favourite to win the contest. So maybe it's history repeating itself, but, you know, a Eurovision winner that wasn't originally meant to be there in the first place, remarkable.
Callum, give us an idea as well about who you've been speaking to for these, because obviously it isn't just, you know, your investigative skills that you've been using to research and pull this all together. You've been speaking to some, you know, some real experts out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really wanted to speak to some people who don't really get a lot of attention in the Eurovision world as well. Just sticking on Denmark, I spoke to a man who goes by the name of Chief One, Lars Pedersen, who is a very acclaimed songwriter, not only in Denmark, but across the world as well. He's won Latin Grammys, and he's had a number of contributions in Eurovision for Denmark as well. And he never does interviews. And he wrote The Way You Are, which represented Denmark in 2015. He also wrote The Show by Reddy, that represented Denmark in 2022. Both songs failed to even qualify for the grand final of Eurovision. But he spoke so honestly and openly about those songs and the song's failings. It was so refreshing to hear somebody be so open about their own work and the failings of it. But it was also nice to speak to some very influential people from Norway. I spoke to Stig Carlsen, who I know has been on the podcast a few times, and one of his predecessors, Vivi Stenberg as well, who kind of ran the Melody Grand Prix show before he did. And in Finland as well, a couple of guys, Elias and Matti, who are producers at UMK as well, who create some of the best national final and Eurovision shows that we see anywhere across Europe. And they gave some amazing insight into just how much effort YLE in Finland has put into turning around their Eurovision fortunes. You know, we can look at the numbers and see that Finland have just got better and better. But to truly understand how they've done it, it's a wonderful tale of determination and trial and error. And I think the payoff is just about there for Finland.
And to mention Iceland as well, I know you've kind of framed Iceland's relationship with Eurovision over the last decade as one of enthusiasm, a country that love Eurovision and one that wants to succeed at the contest. Callum, it seems only right that we do talk about Sweden, because you mentioned there at the start of this chat that Sweden are the powerhouse, really, when it comes to Scandinavia. We are on the cusp of another contest in Sweden. A quote that I think is going to polarise the listeners, from Gustav Darlander, friend of the podcast, who has been, of course, on Melfest Monday many a time as well with James, who works at SVT. He's their kind of stats man across Melody Festival and Eurovision as well. Gustav said that Christa Björkman is the single most important person to the success of Melfest and Eurovision. Discuss.
But he is. You know, there is no doubt about it. I know he is a very divisive, maybe polarizing character, but it's inarguable that he has been such an important person to Sweden's success. Gustav goes into a bit more detail in the piece that I've done about Sweden, about that and about why he is. That he is the common denominator in Sweden's success. So he has to be lauded
and congratulated. But it isn't just down to him. You know, I do address this in the piece about Sweden. There are so many factors. It was great to speak to Anders Retov, who's been on the podcast as well before, I know, and Joy Deb as well, who, again, somebody who doesn't do a lot of interviews, but he spoke so openly about writing Heroes for Måns Zelmerlöw, that one in 2015. But he also spoke about Tusa in 2021 and kind of the let's say the quirkiness, I guess, but about having voices in the Melfest final, but also Every Minute by Eric Sade in the final as well. And he goes into a bit of detail about his thoughts about what Eric might have done at Eurovision had he gone. And could Sweden's record have been any better? Scary to think for some people, but that's the reality.
And obviously, Callum, you know, that's what you've done so far, and we do recommend people go and read all of that, because they are genuinely fascinating, and the insights from the people you've spoken to are fascinating. But looking ahead, next week, we can officially say it next week, can't we? That the three of us will be out there in Malmö for the Eurotrips coverage of Eurovision 2024.
We will. I'm excited. I know you two are excited. I can see the smiles on your faces that say that you are both as excited as I am. And we had a great week in Liverpool last year, didn't we? It was very busy, but very rewarding. I can't wait to do it all over again.
Hear, hear. It's not a lot of sleep, but it is a lot of fun. And it's very enjoyable when we know that all of you listening are listening along as well. So, Callum, the next time we hear your voice on the podcast, we'll probably be in Malmö. And that is very, very exciting to say.
Bring it on.
Hiya loves, it's me, Danny Beard off the telly.
And I'm DJ Billy Andrew.
And we are the Gossip Gays podcast. And here we like to celebrate your dirty dilemmas, your queer confessions, and basically your daily filth.
Remember when that guy got in touch and told us about the time he his or the listener who got caught?
Oh, well, I was kind of into that one then.
Yeah, I know you were.
Yeah. So we're here, we're queer, and we're always whispering gossip straight into your ear.
Listen to The Gossip Gays wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gossip Gays.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Like what you're hearing? Make sure to leave us a review and a rating whenever you're listening.
Welcome back to the Eurotrip. We'll be chatting to Marcus Martinez shortly, and another step on our march to Malmö still to come. But, Rob, a quick mention of our upcoming live event.
Absolutely. You've been giving it the big sell over the last couple of weeks. I heard on the podcast when I was listening on my flight back. Yeah, well done. We have sold loads of tickets. There's loads of people coming.
You say sold. We haven't sold any tickets because our live event this year is absolutely free. We will be in the Eurofan Cafe in the Eurovision Village in Malmö on Thursday, the 9th of May. It's at 1 p.m. And as I say, it's absolutely free for you to come along to our live podcast recording.
Yes, all you need to do, so as James has said, you don't need to part with any money. You just need to do what lots of people have already done and register your interest by clicking on the link in the description for today's episode. And that is it. When you click on the link, it will also ask you to submit a question for our brilliant panel of guests who we will be announcing in due course. But rest assured, it's going to be worth your time. We're going to have a lovely, lovely time at the Eurofan Cafe and some surprises as well along the way. The main surprise, I would say, I think they are the main surprise that they confirmed earlier. So they are happening.
Yes.
Are you talking about me? I'm officially attending, right? That's what you're talking about.
I hope so. I mean, it isn't just the listeners that will be disappointed, but I will be a little disappointed if you decide not to turn up.
Yes, but as Rob says, click the link in the description. You can grab yourself a free ticket. You can submit a question as well. If you've got a burning question on your mind about Eurovision that you want to put to us or our panel, then stick that in the little box when you grab yourself a ticket.
Absolutely. So come on down, 9th of May, Eurofan Cafe, 1 p.m. We will see you there. Now, James, before we march to Malmö, it's time for this. Now, I thought you'd lost this. I haven't heard this for the last 2 weeks.
Maybe it just fell into the recycle bin, my mistake. I'm not entirely sure, so forgive me. But does this mean that we are doing more of your Eurovision songs in the wild?
The gift that keeps on giving.
Well, I've got some more. We've got loads. I'm not going to read them all out. I'll try and save some for next week, but I imagine we'll get some more submissions as we go.
At this point, we might have to launch a spin-off podcast that is just me and James reading through your Eurovision Songs in the Wild submissions.
Almost every week, I seem to say, has this feature still got legs? Are you still hearing Eurovision songs out and about when you least expect them? And yet, you guys keep on delivering. Well, I'm going to read out a few. I'm going to read you this one first. From Kelly, first of all, who says, I have a Eurovision Song in the Wild for you. I was at a kids' disco held in my local school in County Kildare in Ireland when I heard Caria's song Cha 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 at a kids' disco, which is just remarkable. Kelly says, loving the podcast. I just came across you this year thanks to Connor and Lou from the Eurovision podcast.
Oh, which is great. That's nice.
And then I'm going to bring you this one from Paul in Edinburgh. He emailed us, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. He says, loving the podcast. I was one of your Turin newbies when James had his passport stolen and Rob was trapped in his apartment.
Well, only 50% of that is correct.
Yes, I thought that as well. It was Rob's passport that was stolen.
Yeah, not only was Rob stuck in his apartment, Rob also had his passport stolen. But James, to be fair, you had your own level of drama because your laptop ended up in Morocco, did it not?
Yeah, I imagine my entire backpack did as well and everything in it, including a lovely jacket that honestly, almost every week I think about.
Oh, that was a nice jacket, wasn't it?
Do you remember it? Honestly, I loved that jacket. It had a lovely smell as well.
Maybe someone's wearing it now.
Anyway, Paul said, excellent drama. I'm not entirely... Is that tongue
in cheek? It might have been for you, Paul. I'm not sure it was at the time.
Anyway, he says, just wanted to offer you my own breakfast buffet Eurovision in the wild experience after Rob's in Iceland last week. He says, I was in Langkawi, an island in Malaysia. May have pronounced that right or wrong. I'm not entirely sure.
I think you probably have pronounced that wrong, but yeah.
Never mind. He says, it was in January this year when what should come over the speakers at the breakfast buffet? None other than Yamame from Romania in 2022. Dude.
How niche.
I know, I tried not to shimmy while walking back to our table with a plate of exotic fruit, but I confess there may well have been a little musical shuffle along the way. Shame it wasn't Eat Your Salad, of course. Keep up the good work, says Paul.
Very, very good. Yeah, very, very good. And don't apologise ever for a shimmy, Paul.
Never
apologise for a shimmy.
Not at all. One more. This is from Ivy, who says, Hi, James. And possibly Rob. Welcome back, Rob, of course. I have a Eurovision song in the wild submission. Today, I heard May Muller's I Wrote a Song in an ice rink just outside Manchester here in the UK. I was so excited when it came on that I skated over to my friend and almost knocked her over. I love what you do on the podcast, so keep up the good work.
Love that. Very, very good. Oh, well, thank you for all your submissions. As James said, they are coming in the boatloads. So keep them coming in. You can do that. hello@eurotrippodcast.com on the email. You can send us to them on our socials as well. And undoubtedly, we will do some more next week. But from that, James, to this. The party never stops here on the Eurotrip, does it?
Indeed, yes, it's time for the March to Malmö, or as I've been calling it, and I quite like the sound of this, our weekly pilgrimage to this year's host city of the Eurovision Song Contest. Can you get on board with that, the weekly pilgrimage?
I can, I like it very much. We'll be making a daily pilgrimage soon.
Indeed, we'll be there very, very shortly, of course. But this week, I'm going to be chatting to Linda Dahl, who is the co-owner of Mart Caravan, which translates as food caravan to you English speakers. I say you English speakers. Most certainly me as well. But it is a food tours business that has been going for the last 2 decades right in the heart of Malmö.
Yeah, this is, I think, arguably, more so than the disgusting food museum, the best guest we've had on the March to Malmö so far. Because food is involved, but thankfully, as I say, this time, not disgusting food, food that we can all get on board with.
Yes, we spoke to the director of that museum, didn't we, a few weeks ago. I'm sure a lot of you will be snapping up some tickets to that museum because it does genuinely sound like a delight, despite all of the disgusting foods. But this week, we're going to chat to Linda, who has run this business for, as I say, the last 2 decades or so. And she gives us an insight into not only why she loves Malmö, but also why she loves food. And most importantly, why you should get yourself on a food tour of Malmö. So this is what happened when I caught up with Linda a little bit earlier on. Linda, welcome to the Eurotrip. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
I'm very good, thanks. It's nice to have you here. You run, I guess, the original food tour of Malmö, is that right?
I would say that it's the original food tour of Sweden. Because back in the days when we started in 2003, like 24 years ago, there were no food tours around in all of Sweden. So we it's fair to say that we are the first original food tours in Sweden.
I undersold you, forgive me. So where did the idea come from all those years ago to do a food tour in Sweden?
It all began like in 24 years ago, back in the days, the ambition started with that we wanted to do sort of a reverse integration process here in Malmö. And we all lived in this multicultural area called Möllevångstorget. And it's a busy place. It's crowded, lots of things happening. It's students, it's people from different cultures, different countries. The citizens of Malmö that don't live in this area, it's outside the comfort zone. So we wanted sort of to integrate the Swedes to this multicultural area and also make them realize that Malmö is a really multicultural, diverse city and, yeah, make them understand how valuable this is.
I guess that's the interesting thing about the food tours that you do. It's not just the food that people come for, which we'll come on to, but it's also like the culture of the city as well that people get to experience and really see for themselves.
Yes, our biggest aim with our work is to bring people closer to food and food closer to people. That meaning that our tourists sort of have a behind-the-scene ambition. We want them to meet the people behind the food, learn their story, learn their food culture, and of course, taste new things.
Which is probably the best part, of course. There's so much to it, but getting to taste the food is probably one of the things that is up there. And what sort of food? Because I think for a lot of people, and I must admit, me included, when I think of Sweden and when I think of food, not a lot springs to mind. I naturally think of like fika, for example, but there's not much more that I really think of. So what would people experience if they went on a food tour in Malmö?
Yeah, we have different kind of food tours, but we do the Swedish fika tours, and then you get in-depth knowledge about the Swedish fika culture that is big. Then we have a seasonal food tour that is more Scandinavian focused, and we talk a lot about the history and why the food culture tastes and smells like it does in Skåne and Malmö. And then we have the multicultural original food tour of Möllevången, and you can expect some culinary bungee jumps as well. We challenge you to taste like fermented black beans, for example, that might be
a bit of a challenge to eat.
Yeah, a bit of a challenge and a new thing to taste. And of course, when you do the more Scandinavian Swedish focused tour in the Malmö Saluhall, you will probably try some pickled herring, of course, but also meatballs and the Swedish take on gastronomy.
What are some of your favorite dishes? Of course, you know, when you're out and about, when you're doing some of the tours or when you're tasting new stuff, What are the big things that really stand out to you as some of your favorites?
I love food, and I love it so much. So even when certain food doesn't taste the way I'm used to, now I'm a little bit diplomatic. Like if I've Icelandic like shark, if you try that and it tastes like, yeah, strange, I still love it because it's a new experience, and I'm curious, always curious to taste new things. I would say that I love the quirky stuff, the strange stuff that's challenging me, and yeah, that is it's sort of open up my conscience and my brain. So it doesn't necessarily need to be tasty. It needs to be interesting. And the worst thing for me when it comes to food, it's food that is not prepared with the heart.
So there has to be love put into the food that's being made, right?
At least a thought, a conscious thought. Food that is just prepared just to be handed out with no thought about it, and prefab royale, that is not my thing.
Linda, what do you love about Malmö as a city? You know, you've been there for 20 years or so. You must have seen the city evolve and develop. What do you love about Malmö?
I love the do-it-yourself spirit in Malmö, and that anything is possible, the feeling that anything is possible. And someone said to me once that if you want to take a look into the future of Sweden, take a look at Malmö.
Really?
And yeah, and I would agree. I mean, we are far down south, close to the border, close to the continent, and history-wise, we've been the first in everything here in Sweden, like new technology, new produce. So yeah, and of course, we also have nowadays 179 nationalities represented in Malmö. So of course, the cross-pollination of ideas and cultures are making things happen that is sort of unique for Malmö. And of course, I need to add that 48% of the population in Malmö is under 35. So compared to other cities, Malmö is the youngest. And it's a young, progressive city with a very strong green driving force and where lots of things happen. So yeah, I love that atmosphere and that feeling in this city.
Speaking of atmosphere, Eurovision is just around the corner. I guess there must be a buzz building in the city for Eurovision. Are you excited as well?
Yeah, of course I'm excited. It's also, of course, it's a lot of challenges, but it's going to be nice to see this city crowded of people coming from abroad to see and visit Malmö, and also to have them experience this city and how it is to be here. And yeah, it's going to be marvelous.
And for those people listening to us right now thinking, I want to do one of these food tours, I'm coming in a couple of weeks, I'll definitely have some spare time. Where should they go to find out a bit more about the food tours that you have on offer?
Matcaravan.com.
Perfect. We'll pop a link to that in the description of today's episode as well, so people can just click right through. Linda, it's been great to catch up, and I'm really excited to head out to Malmö and see what the city has to offer.
Yeah, and it has to offer so much. So you need to plan your trip because it's so many things to see and do.
Ah, excellent. Linda, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Eurotrip,
the world's favorite Eurovision podcast.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Lovely to hear from Linda there on the march to Malmö. And James, there is only one more weekly pilgrimage here on the podcast to Malmö before we are in Malmö ourselves. And that will come next week.
Yes, indeed. So one more step, one more jump forward. How do you march? What? Is it just a step?
One final hop.
Indeed. And then, after that, we'll be there.
We will indeed. Very, very exciting. But yeah, lovely to hear from Linda on the podcast. Now, shall we stay in Sweden, which I imagine we'll be saying a lot in a couple of weeks' time? But yes, let's stay in Sweden, because now it is time to hear from another of the class of 2024. They were very nearly a member of the class of 2023, sort of. They finished second in Melodifestivalen in 2023, and this year they went one step further. They are representing the host nation of Sweden in Malmö. It is, of course, the Norwegian twins, Marcus and Martinus. It is brilliant to have them on the podcast. I'm a big fan of their entry this year, Unforgettable, which stormed to the Melfest victory in March. James, of course, you spoke about that at length on this series of Melfest Monday. Well, brilliant to chat to the boys. This is the second time that I've spoken to them, actually. I had the opportunity to talk to them last year before they competed in Melfest for the first time. Well, as I say to them, it has been an incredible time for them between last year's Melodifestivalen and now, as they're on the cusp of representing the host nation of Sweden on home soil at the Eurovision Song Contest. So here's what happened when we caught up. Marcus and Martinus, welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you so much.
Hello, Rob.
It is so good to chat to you, because I last spoke to you before you did Melodifestivalen last year. We spoke in January 2023. What an incredible whirlwind 18 months for you guys. You did Melo for the first time, you came second, only beaten by Loreen. Sweden then win Eurovision, and now you're representing Sweden in Sweden at the contest. I mean, what an amazing 18 months for you.
Yeah, it's been crazy. You know, when you tell us it was 18 months ago we started with the Melo, for me it feels like 4 or 5 years. Like it's been hectic, it's been fun, and it's been crazy, and when I look back at it, it's just a lot of fun memories, and I've had so much fun. So yeah, I just can't wait to make memories in Eurovision as well.
Did it take much persuasion to come back to Melo again this year? Did you guys approach SVT, or I imagine SVT were all over you guys?
Well, it was very funny, because right after we lost, well, second is still great for two Norwegian guys. When we came backstage, the first thing Martina said was, "We're going to do it again next year. 100%. We have to." And I was like, "Okay, slow down, cowboy." And then, you know, we started, you know, talking a bit about it, but some people were unsure. But, you know, the people that made the song with us, Jimmy, Linnea and Joy, they were like, "You have to do it again next year,
actually,
because you are going to top it next year." So
yeah,
we were like thinking about it. Martins were very sure still, but then we, you know, made the song. And
in fact, they actually called us for a meeting, and they said, you guys have to meet us. And then we like had a meeting where they tried to tell us, "You guys have to be in Melo this year."
Yeah. And then of course we didn't really have a meeting with SVT. We just, you know, showed them the song, because they asked about if we were, you know, wanting to do it again. And then we were like, "Oh, we got this song, you can take a listen." And they really liked it. So we had to. So we're super happy about the whole journey.
And everyone is so pleased that you did, because obviously you went on to then win Melodifestivalen, and your song's done amazing numbers in Sweden, and I'm sure will do in Europe as well when Eurovision comes around. Can we talk about your dad for a second? Because I'm pretty sure your dad now has a lot less hair than he did before you won Melodifestivalen.
Our dad told us if we won Melo this year, he's going to shave off all of his hair. And we're like, "Okay, deal."
Because we didn't tell him to do it.
No.
He said to us, "Guys, if you guys win, I will. You guys have to shave my hair off."
So it's all completely his own fault.
Yeah, yeah. And he's 53 now, so it's not going to be easy, you know, everything growing back. So it's he's not young anymore. So yeah, you know, right now he's going to be bald for the rest of his life, but he looks very handsome.
If anyone wants to see what he looks like, it's over on your Instagram, and I would agree with you. I think he looks good.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So obviously, since you won Melodifestivalen, you now know where you're going to be performing in the Eurovision Grand Final. You're going to be opening the show. How do you guys feel about that? And does that mean that things change for you? Are you going to change up the performance a little bit now you know that you're opening the whole thing?
I don't like being the first one. Like, it's a lot of stress, and I feel like it would be so much more safe to be like sixth or seventh. I think it's gonna be so exciting being the one that's gonna open the whole Eurovision. You know, it's a crazy feeling just thinking about it.
I'm more opposite than what Martinez is, because you know I think it's a big honor to open the whole show, and you know everybody is going to look at the first ones opening up. And last time Sweden opened up, I think it was Diggiloo Diggiley.
Yeah.
So now it's unforgettable. So it's going to be a big pressure, but you know, we're so excited, and it's just going to be an unforgettable moment.
The benefit as well of opening the show means that you guys are obviously first in the green room, first to access the snacks and the drinks, and you just get to relax and watch everyone else perform. And it's a pretty good place to be.
In Melo, we only had water. Yeah. So, you know, we need something more now. We're going to be sitting there for like a long, long time.
I think I'm going to stress eating the whole entire show. Just eating and eating.
Stress eating.
Yeah.
I'll obviously ask you a little bit more about Malmö before we wrap up, but I know that we have got some questions from our listeners. We put out on our socials that we were going to be chatting to you, and they sent a few questions. So, first question was, if you could steal anyone else's song in Eurovision this year and give it a bit of a Marcus and Martinez kind of switch up, what song would you like to perform that someone else is doing at Eurovision this year?
The Netherlands.
I think Joost Klein's song, Europapa. I kind of like it. It's very like easy but catchy, and I love the drop at the end, so I wouldn't mind doing a Marcus and Martinez version to it.
Abby asks, which part of the Eurovision experience are you most looking forward to?
I think just, you know, the vibe the day before, or the day Eurovision is going to be the final. I just want to feel it, you know, how it is around people, how people are feeling, how I am feeling. And I'm just excited to, you know, also just stand on the stage and performing in front of hundreds of millions. Like, it's going to be so crazy.
Yeah, for me, it's a very easy answer. It's just, you know, doing the song on stage, you know, that is what you're most looking forward to. So it's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, and how people are going to vibe in Malmö with our song. Is it going to be nice, or is it not nice? I don't know. Yeah.
I think it's going to be nice. I think they'll vibe with it. I think you'll be fine. Don't worry. Mitch is asking a difficult question, and I'm pleased Mitch has asked, because I didn't want to ask. So Mitch asks, would you ever compete in Melody Grand Prix? Obviously, you've done Melody Grand Prix Junior. Would you ever do Melody Grand Prix in Norway?
We have been, you know, of course, thinking a little bit about it. But, you know, for us right now, it felt very natural and right to do it in Sweden, because we've been working for most of our time after COVID in Sweden the last 4 years now. So that's what felt natural. But maybe one time, you know, we're still young. We have a lot of time to do it. So yeah,
it's
never say never.
It's hard to answer it right now. But if it's the right timing, or if we're working a lot in Norway and it suits us, maybe we'll do it. But right now, it's hard.
I imagine that before this year, there was some sort of like big wrestling match between the Norwegian broadcaster and SVT. They both wanted a bit of you for Eurovision this year. Is that how it was?
Well, Sweden were far ahead before the Norwegians asked us. So that's how it all started. So the Swedes were first.
But that means that Norway did ask you.
Well, yeah. They did last year when we entered the competition for Melody Festival for the first time. But that was like many months after we already done the song and done everything around it before they did the how do you say it, when they released the artist or something.
When they announced their lineup.
Announced was the word I was looking for. So they asked very, very late, so it was like we couldn't have had a song or anything ready if they asked so late. So Sweden felt very right for us. Yeah.
How is the vibe in Sweden? Eurovision coming back to Sweden again this year.
The vibe is amazing. You know, every time we are in Sweden, all the people just wish us good luck. And good luck in Eurovision. We're proud of you. Good luck. We're going to watch you. We support you. Yeah. Like, the vibe is so, so good. Like,
and
I get so happy every time I meet Swedish people, because they just say nice things all the time.
And
so
rooting for us. So very happy. Yeah.
And hoping for the 12 points from Norway as well, obviously.
It would almost be embarrassing if not.
Marcus and Martinez, thank you so much for chatting. Really, really appreciate it. And enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the rest of the journey to Eurovision. And hopefully we'll catch up in Malmo as well.
Thank you, Rob. Nice talking to you. Have a nice day.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotour Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Do you know what? Over the last few weeks or so, I feel like I can't escape Marcus Martinez, especially in British media, because I've seen them on BBC Breakfast here in the UK. I saw them on Blue Peter on a children's TV show here in the UK as well.
Thoroughly recommend that anyone who is on Twitter goes and finds that video, because the kids are absolutely loving it, aren't they? It's like they're at a rave. It's like Colleen's performing.
I was going to say, it almost like feels like, based on all of their dance moves in the crowd, that they're listening to an entirely different song. But I guess, is that just how kids dance, is it?
I don't know. They're having the time of their life. It is absolutely incredible. So no, definitely go and seek that out. I do have one regret from the Marcus and Martinez interview as well. It's that I didn't ask them about their dog. I've seen some other people do it and I wish I had. Big fan. Looks like a great dog.
But you know me, I'm not a big dog fan, so I can take it or leave it.
Honestly, one of your biggest flaws. And I hate the fact that you've admitted that on the podcast, because I feel like we might lose some listeners now that you've said that in public.
Right. Do you know what? I don't think we'll lose listeners. Maybe people will just pick a side. I wonder, do you reckon people have a favourite between you and me?
I think categorically they do, and I think it's probably you.
No, don't be daft. Don't be daft. I think a lot of people have you as favourite and they think, oh, they've not got that amateur James on again.
I don't think that's true at all. Shall we do a poll on... No, we're not doing that. Just to clarify. We are not doing that at all. That'd be awful. Can you imagine you see me and James in Malmo and you realise that we've not spoken to each other for the last 7 days?
Anyway, let's not do a poll, but let's do the 1 second song, shall we?
Absolutely, let's do it. So this is how we end every episode here on the podcast, but then again, you knew that already. Me and James play each other the first second of a Eurovision song, and we have to guess what the name of the song was, who performed it, the name of the country it was representing, and the year in which it was performed at the Eurovision Song Contest. James, what are the points?
Well, we haven't done it the last 2 weeks because you haven't been here, haven't had anybody to play against. So the points remain 22-16 to me. But you do have a chance to close the gap by 4 points because I've chosen this week's song. Shall we hear it for the very first time?
Yeah, let's do it. So for me, and for all of you listening, here's this week's 1 second song. Oh, there's a bit of a vocal there.
I've been a bit generous, I must admit, because if I gave you a second, you know, chairs would be flying, you'd be livid. So I thought I'd give you a little tease of a vocal. So it's a bit more than the first second this time, but I still think it might be a little bit difficult.
Yeah, it is a bit difficult. I'm not sure I have a firm answer having heard that for the first time. So let's have one more listen. I think he sounds a bit like Mons, but it's... Oh, hold on. Oh, maybe. In my head, I was like, oh, it definitely can't be Mons. So what? So no, it won't be. But no, maybe it is. I think that sounds like Mons. I think that is Mons Zelmerlev, Heroes Sweden 2015. I'm going to look like an absolute fool if it's not.
Congratulations. You are an absolute fool.
Oh, no. Don't do that. I really thought it was correct. What on earth is that then?
That is actually from 2011.
Hold on a second. What a ridiculous guess. I'm now just replaying the opening bars to Heroes in my head. It doesn't sound like that at all.
Anyway, we can discuss that at a later date. But that song was from 2011.
Right.
It was from a song that did not qualify from its semi-final.
Oh, right. Oh, brilliant. So when you said you've given me more of a chance this week, you thought you'd pick a niche song from a semi-final that didn't make the final 13 years ago.
Well, yes, but it has some significance. It was the Dutch entry from that year. And his face is still blank. It is 3J's with Never Alone.
Awake your heart. You fear it, but we'll make a start. Seems like the wind just blows your way with clouds full of rain. And you hide because the world ain't
I wouldn't have got that in a million years.
Well, it came stone dead last in its semi-final. 19th, picked up 13 points. But I wanted to try and pick a song that sort of celebrated us coming back together. You know, you've been away for a couple of weeks. So I had the entire list of all Eurovision songs ever open on the spreadsheet. And I was going, welcome back, hello, you know, just anything that sort of represented that. And then I typed in the word alone and then that popped up. So I thought, oh, well, never alone. I guess I was, but never alone anymore.
Yeah, very good. Oh, that's quite nice. That's cute, that is. You could have gone for La La Love. That would have been nice. No, too far?
You're pushing it. Right, although, one thing we've overlooked is that there is only one more 1 second song before Malmö. We won't do it during Malmö. You cannot claw back a lead before Eurovision week.
I think this is it. I think it's all over. I think for the first time in the history of the podcast, I think you have won this year's 1 second song.
We will probably do maybe one or two episodes after Malmö. And I can't work out the logistics of that. Maybe you can claw back a lead. No, you won't be able to. If we do one episode or two episodes, you will not get a lead back. So, I am crowned this year's winner.
That felt like quite an anticlimactic win.
It did, but I mean, it's only the 1 second song. What else do we need to do, I guess?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, well, well done. I think that is the first year that you have emerged as the 1 second song winner. So well done to you. Thank you, everyone, for being here, because it's been lovely to be back. Really, really loved being here. Loved being back on the podcast. And James, there is but one episode left between now and our coverage of Malmö.
Yes, so we'll be back in 7 days' time, next Wednesday, for your final episode before we head out there to Malmö and we start our daily coverage live from this year's host city of the Eurovision Song Contest. So until next Wednesday, don't forget to keep in touch with us online. We are at Eurovision Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can email us as well, hello@eurovisionpodcast.com. You can read all of our exclusive stories on eurovisionpodcast.com itself. Don't forget as well, if you want to support us here on the podcast, you can do that over at buymeacoffee.com/EuroTripPodcast. And if you're heading out to Malmö, if you'll be there on Thursday, the 9th of May at 1 p.m, don't forget to hit that link in the description to grab yourself a free ticket to the Eurotrip Live.
That bit's getting longer every single week for you, isn't it?
It is. And as well, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review and rate us 5 stars. From me, James, it's goodbye.
And from me, Rob, it's goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.